What's up, everyone? And this is Next Level Thinking. What's up, everyone? It's another episode of Next Level Thinking, where we always aim to inspire you to take it to the next level. Of course, you have your host, Chris Holmes, but today I have a special guest by the name of
the Legendary Yeti.
Legendary. So I'm going to let you start off with the ground floor. Tell a little basics about yourself so the audience knows a little bit about yourself.
What's going on? I'm the Legendary Yeti, an alum of Sam Houston State University.
Bearcats. Awesome. So you pretty much have your resume like stacked. And I also see that you did a lot of, you know, build up from coming from the university, different organizations, of course, and just build up your portfolio from there. But I want to like take a little slight step back. What was like your driven passion before it became the Legendary, of like that drive that actually pushed you to pursue this goal in the first place? Okay.
So the passion has been music, and I used to compose music, and I used to write music as well. And from there, I was working in the studio with an engineer. His name is Jay Lacey. He's the current engineer for Fetty Wap. He did the self-titled Fetty Wap album, the one with all the hits on it, the My Way, the Trap Queen, the 679. All of those were done by Jay Lacey. And then the album went on to go multi-platinum. So at the time when I was recording, that was also my engineer, and so he used to always like put us in environments where we would be around celebrities to become more accustomed to that. So I did that for a while, and then after that was in high school. After high school graduation, I went on to SAM, and at SAM, that's when I taught myself how to DJ. And then I just wanted to make sure that the crowd and the people enjoyed their events. That was my main goal and focus. And then also one of my other focuses was to keep bigger DJs from having to come to smaller events, because I knew at the time bigger DJs was charging our organizations a lot of money, and our organizations didn't really have that much money, which in turn would limit the amount of events that we could have. So I wanted to be able to basically provide that service for our on-campus student body. And so, I mean, after I got better at that, then I went on myself to start doing large events. So I guess the goal in that was to provide the people with, you know, a fun and memorable event, but also be able to service them with the type of music that they would like to hear at an appropriate time, which in my opinion is the essence of DJing. And so, yeah, from there, that's where it began to grow. But the passion originally was music, and then it grew into providing the people with the music that they would like to hear.
And I want to hit on something. And the thing is, like, even though in college you always, it seemed like you caught at a very early part of thinking long term, and how you pretty much broke it down of like not want to overcharge up front, but you know, you want to become that their main DJ to create these memories. So like you'll be remembered long term for like creating more than just one event. So now they have multiple memories of you DJing and capturing all this stuff, and then just creating a whole atmosphere for people to enjoy. And that would help you in the long run than most people just aiming for just a short game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. When it comes to doing all of this, like, did you have any people that you look up to while I know one thing that kind of caught me was like when you say you taught yourself how to DJ, I thought you were coming from high school already doing that already, but the fact that you just said you came to college and taught yourself that was, you know, that's accomplished of itself. But were you looking up to anybody during this progression?
I wouldn't necessarily. Okay, like the people that I would say I maybe looked up to originally were Screw and 5000 Watts, and the reason why I say that is because that's what led me to DJing. Like the only like access that I had to DJs really in Houston were Screw and then 5000 Watts. Because they would do the Screw and Chop music, which would be the influential mixtapes in Houston, the Screw tapes. And then after Screw passed away, between the time of my transition into college was when Mike Jones, Slim Thug, and Paul Wall were going more mainstream, so 5000 Watts wasn't putting out tapes that frequently. So I wanted to be able to Screw and Chop my own music, which led me to learning more about DJing, and which taught me also how to mix. Which is the basis of DJing. And so, yeah, that's when I went on. But I can definitely say that there have been people who I've admired their skill level, and that would be 5000 Watts, DJ Chose, DJ Allo. Those people for sure definitely stood out to me. And then from there are my peers who I also admire, and that would be people like DJ Nunu, DJ Tat Tat, DJ Bishop. Yeah.
Awesome. And I want to drill down on this, and it seems like from everything that I heard, you paid attention and you made sure you were surrounded around a lot of people that were either driven to do something successful or just like motivated. And like I hear all the time, and I actually think this myself, is like when you surround yourself with the right crowd, it changes your thoughts of, you know, moving, you know, progressive thinking. And like with you hanging around like these different kind of people, from the celebrities and much more, don't you think that your way of thinking has changed from that?
I mean, I can definitely see that point of view, but I mean, kind of like while I was in the moment going through these things, I wasn't looking at it like that. Somebody who I collaborated with early at Sam was Kickflip, and then we put our minds together on how we would bring the DJ in lifestyle to the campus. We did that before we even got on the campus. We just spent one whole summer just perfecting the craft, and then also kind of fine-tuning the business a little bit on how we were going to present it. So, I mean, yeah, from that perspective, but from being able to see, because like in the music industry, especially in Houston, people don't really like share a lot of game. Like you might have a conversation, and you might have to search out the golden nuggets, but it's very rare that somebody will sit you down and just teach you everything. So me being in those environments has just really taught me how to respect everyone as a person. It doesn't matter the amount of money that they have or the amount of celebrity. At the end of the day, we are people, which puts us on the same playing field. So I got that from being around a lot of people, but I didn't really get too much like information from a lot of people.
Okay. Now, with that said, I want to go into this question. Like, you hear this all the time, especially when it comes to music, is the key word, hustle. So, like, especially when it comes to the music industry, like, how important it is to hustle when it's, like, from promoting yourself, putting out, you know, different singles and things like that to, like, make yourself set you apart from your competition. I just want to hear from, like, your point of view of how important it is to hustle out there, especially in a game when you have so many people you can get the software from like almost many different locations and computers to start up and go. So how important it is, you think it is to hustle in your point of view?
I think it's super important to hustle. But the way I look at things is first quality. You definitely want to make sure your quality is out there. And I think that's why like a lot of our rappers don't get the feedback that they're looking for, is because they don't take it to the market where they will be received first. So first you want to have your quality right. And then with the quality comes everything else that you touched on, like the skill set to that software where you would be a competitor towards people who are already doing it on a professional level. And I think that's what really goes into or what has stemmed from the internet. Like, now anybody with the software, anybody with the professional level software can compete with the mainstream full-time professional artist. But the thing is, they have to have skill. You can't do it without skill. It's not, your hustle will take you so far, but it has to be a product or service that people are actually interested in as well. So, like, hustling is definitely very important, especially when it comes down to marketing and promotion and things like that. But you gotta have something that's desirable as well.
Yep, all great answers. Quality is definitely important to, like, get you up to, like, the top competitors. Because, you know, like you just said earlier, it's very easy to get the software and stuff like that, but you got to have that set skill. So my next question is, like, what changes have you seen in the music game from, like, let's say from high school up until now, if you're doing all these big kind of projects and much more? As we know, like, with the internet, everything's so fast-paced. But what have you seen change lately from, I guess, the style or, like, the way people spin lyrics? What have you noticed that has changed?
I think both of those two things that you just touched on, the style and the lyrics, and kind of like the content as well. And music is really rapid right now. Like, you know, there's no lifespan on a song right now. Like, even last year, a song's lifespan would at least be a year. But today, it's hard to say how long the song will last. Because there's songs that have been making hits that we don't even hear anymore. But some of the changes that I've seen, though, starting off with lyrics, people used to focus on a rhyme scheme and punchlines and metaphors. And you don't always see that now. Like, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And then consistency in your storyline used to be a thing, and now artists kind of jump from one storyline to another. But I guess for me, being a DJ, I keep up with popular music, so I understand the differences. And then a lot of our music right now is coming from the youth, so the youth is going with what they've been presented with. You know, like, we might have other people that we look at as, like, rap stars, for lack of better terms or words, but, like, maybe like a Ludacris or Eminem or, you know, somebody like that, that's going to be using more lyrics. They're looking at, like, a Quavo and, like, a Lil Pump, and, you know, that's the new role models for rap. And so I don't have a problem with that at all, but I'm just saying that it's going to be different when you hear the music. And so and then the way the music is, like, created now is different too. Like, back in the day, well, not back in the day, but when I was in high school, people would, you know, write the lyrics and stuff like that. Well, now it's a lot more popular for somebody to either make a voice memo on their phone or just go in the booth or with their software or whatever and just record and then do punch in. So a punch in is like where you might say one line and then stop it, and then you, when you find another good line that'll go with that, you say another line and you stop again. So it's kind of like freestyle, and it's not like as much time that goes into it, which goes along with the longevity of the record, because now they can have a lot more quantity. You know, they don't have to spend as much time creating the music, so they can make a lot of songs and then put those out frequently. They can distribute them themselves on software like or platforms like SoundCloud. They can utilize SoundCloud, and, you know, then they can build a fan base. So, yeah. And then style, I mean, style goes hand in hand with all of that. Like, but some of the styles are repeating itself, like do-rags, like, when I was in high school, people were wearing do-rags, and then throughout college, nobody did. And now, I just went to a high school this morning to speak to the students, and some of the kids had on do-rags then, and it's like the cool thing. And then baggy clothes was a thing when I was in high school, then in college it was trim, so now a lot of these kids are, like, wearing, like, skinny stuff and fitting stuff, which is cool, you know what I'm saying? It's just fashion, they change. So, yeah, that's just some of the things that I've seen.
Yeah, but then, you know, on the end note on that, it's like, you know, trends are constantly changing at a rapid pace, especially with the internet, like you just said. From and it's almost kind of funny how it goes in a cycle, like how you said earlier with the do-rags, and then it went out of phase and now slowly coming back, and then yeah, even with hairstyles like flat top stuff like that went away and then it comes right back. Is, you know, trends are always changing and then they come back as a class or retro and stuff like that. So it's interesting to watch how the trends move and then come back probably like years later.
Yep.
So with that, what would you say is the biggest thing that would actually make... let me see how I can phrase this. Because nowadays, you have a lot of the young that want to become possible artists, but what is possibly the key thing that can actually start them into the right direction, especially with it being so competitive? Like, what is the one thing that probably set them apart?
The biggest thing that sets you apart right now as an artist is feedback. You need to get feedback from as many people as you possibly can to make sure that the product, which is your music, that you're going to provide to the people is something that they actually desire. And then if they do desire it, then from there, a performance, which would be your service, will be the next step. And then I definitely think feedback is going to be the most important part to have as an artist that would like to start out.
You know, that's hard for a lot of people because with it kind of in kind of art, you know, a lot of artists are very sensitive about their stuff. But you did hit a key point is you have to be open-minded and then listen to different kinds of feedback. Because if you just say, listen to one kind of feedback, just close it off, you haven't really got enough information from the masses because you have so many different, you know, ways people listen to music, what they like and don't like.
Yeah, and I think right there, that's what separates you from creating music as a hobby and creating music as a professional. And then too, you know, there's always going to be people who like it, you know. Of course, the ones that dislike it are going to stand out the most in your mind. But you have to remember there's always going to be people who also like it, and then you have to cater to them. You know, you have to build a personal relationship with them to continuously give them the product that they desire, and then find more people like them. Or ask them, you know, who else? Have you played this around anybody else? And how did they feel about it? And did you find anybody who liked it? And then that's how you grow from there.
Yep, I like that, because you're actually targeting towards your niche audience. Because, like, you can't play your music to everyone because everybody likes different things. But if you get the feedback and then find out what your audience is, then you can pretty much, you know, pin in on what your target is and just put out certain kind of music towards that because they already like that kind of style. And that benefits you in the long run besides just putting out different kind of, I guess, songs, stuff like that. And you're constantly putting out stuff that they don't like. You don't, I guess, kind of get drained because you're like, oh, they don't like it, but you're not, you know, paying attention, like you have different kinds of audiences out there where you can market towards.
Exactly.
Right. Now, I got to hit on this because I see that you posted this on your profile. Is you had like an award or it was like a plaque from like the song, was it Mask Off?
Yeah, Mask Off. I received my first platinum plaque from the song Mask Off. Okay, so Mask Off was the first song that I worked on through Epic Records, and it released last March. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of March, it went platinum. In order to go platinum, you have to sell a minimum of 1 million units. And then the following month, MediaBase, which is the organization that calculated the plays and sales that sent me that plaque, they capped it off the following month at 4 million plays and sales. Well, I guess amounting up to 4 million sales, plays will be included in the sales. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a major accomplishment. How did it feel when you got that?
Man, I keep track of the songs that I work on, so I know what they're doing, and I knew Mask Off was a big song and a big hit. But when it came in the mail, though, I mean, it's really like...
Hold up, pause. It came in the mail? That looked pretty big.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it had to get special delivery.
I bet.
Somebody walked it to me. Like, they sent it to, like, FedEx or something like that. But, yeah, it came to the mail. It came to my front door. And, what it was when I saw it, and I saw a couple other people from my team getting theirs, and they were posting it on Instagram. I didn't know for a fact that I was going to get one, but I did know I worked on the project, and when it came in, man, it's no other feeling that, you know, I can really relate that to, maybe like a birthday or something like that, maybe that Christmas overwhelming, joyful feeling that you get before you unwrap your gifts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine just like you just walking outside and you see this male person coming in with this walking in like, hold on, what is this? And it, probably like you said, like exactly. In your head, like
the dude who brought it to me, he didn't even know what it was. But I was like, bro, you don't even know what you're holding right now.
Yeah. Did you open up in front of him? I bet.
Nah, cause like you said, it's a larger package, so it came in a pretty big box.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like staples in it and stuff, the heavy duty staples, so it wasn't like you can't just like,
yeah,
you know, open it. You gotta take your time. You probably gotta get like a knife or something. I don't even remember that, but when I opened it, though, I was like, man, I can't wait to see it. So yeah, it was a joyful feeling.
Yeah, you gotta tell that male person like, you fail to realize what you had in your hands.
Yeah, just look.
Yeah. So with that, like, what platforms? I mean, you have so many different apps and things like that. Top three applications that you recommend for a starting artist, go.
Platforms for artists. There's so many platforms. Like, if y'all want to distribute your music, holler at me. You know what I'm saying? You can find me on Facebook, Charleston Yeti Phillips, Instagram, The Legendary Yeti, Snapchat, The Legendary Yeti. If you for real about like distributing your music, you want to take your music to the next level, and you need some guidance and you need some help, feel free to hit me up and contact me, and I'll definitely help you to do that. There's so many different ways, you know what I'm saying, that you can get that job done, but you definitely want to make sure that you do it the right way. That's why I went to school and I studied it. My degree was about $100,000, so if you got that and you got 3.5 to 4 years to spend to learn more about how to do it, then go ahead and go that way. If you're trying to do it right now, then you can just holler at me.
Hey, that's a huge,
like that.
Yeah, huge resource. So, hey, look.
For real, because, you know what I'm saying, like, if you want to do it by yourself, you can do it, you know what I'm saying, and if you want to do it the right way and you need some guidance and assistance, then you can do that too. So, it's just up to you.
I feel like
whatever's best for you.
I feel like you low-key want to drop the mic, but like, look, I'm just saying.
Man, for real, though, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know a lot of people got a lot of questions about the plaque, you know what I'm saying, and if it's through a label and if it's mine. That's why I had to go back and post, you know, the fact that the plaque got my name on it, you know what I'm saying? It's my plaque. What I do is, like I said at the beginning of the show, I represent certain artists in the Houston market that's on the roster. Future is one of those artists. And then it's a cool story about that song. One of my friends who also has a couple plaques. He got 2 gold plaques. I think he got 1 platinum. But General James, we were in the car together. We were actually going to a concert from an artist that he works with. And we were going through the Future album, and I was letting him know, hey, look, I just got this job. You know, this is the first album that, you know, I'm representing. I feel like the single off of here is Mask Off. Mask Off, like, the hardest song to me. He was like, what? Like, nah, man, it's slow. I don't know. I ain't got that vibe.
Man, I was
like,
jamming Mask Off.
And so I chose that song, and then shortly after, like I said, the same month, the song went platinum. And so what I do is I distribute the music, but I take it directly to the market. So I help our songs from Epic Records get on the radio. I help put the music in DJ's hands, and then I review music and give feedback on how everything is going in Houston. With Houston being such a large market, you know, we got so many people that live in this city, and then we influence other cities surrounding us. So with Houston being so large, I think it's a very important position to have, and I really appreciate me being chosen as the one to represent our city. So, yeah.
And
that's how it goes. And so it's a couple other songs that I worked on that have one platinum, like Rake It Up. and Nicki Minaj. That was one of the songs that I worked on. I'm pretty sure that song was platinum, but I ain't got no plaque yet. So hopefully, you know, they'll send that just to add to the accolades. But if not, you know, I know what I'm doing. So.
Hey, but you're doing major big things, though, so that's good. Very good.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So go ahead and try to wrap this up. Any closing remarks, and did you want to like go ahead and remind the people where they can find you, because you dropped a lot of dimes and information. So I'm pretty sure you'll have people like, hold on, I got some more questions.
Yeah, that's what I do. Like you said, you asked me, you know, what was my passion behind it, and I told you the passion was music, but it kind of grew into servicing people. You know, providing whatever service that I can to help people have a pleasurable experience as they explore music. And so right now, that's being independent artists or any type of creative that might need help with copyrights and publishing and distribution and marketing. I've been helping all types of creative do all of those things. And so feel free to ask me any type of questions. Even if you're not a creative, even if you just have questions about music or questions about my personal story or working in mainstream industries or anything like that, feel free to hit me. You can contact me on Instagram, The Legendary Yeti, Facebook, Charleston Yeti Phillips, Snapchat, either type in The Legendary Yeti or DJ Ooh Yeti. So that's DJ OOOHYETI. And yeah, I'll definitely respond because I don't throw no shade to nobody.
Awesome, awesome. So with that great information, as we always take it to the next level, you know, your host Chris Holmes always providing you with valuable content, many more guests to come, but today I have my special guest by the legendary,
yeah, for sure, Legendary Yeti.
Yeah, so make sure you hit him back up, because that's a lot of valuable information. It's very rare that you have somebody that's actually connecting with big projects that you actually have a resource to. So with that, we're going to end it on that note. Keep pushing it, keep staying positive, and take it to the next level. Peace.
Appreciate it. Thank you.